Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlin, and my sister Kix. Hi.
Hi.
I was waiting for you to go, hi, Kix.
Oh, sorry. You can just jump in whenever. We just say that always.
We just have a routine.
Yeah, I know. But it's okay for routines to be broken. We have a hilarious episode with Eric Williams of the podcast, That's the Gayest Podcast, and that's coming up in a second. We just finished recording it. It was a blast.
Oh, my God. So many giggles.
So many giggles and LOLs. And
I dropped a couple bombs.
A lot of reveals. And some things that are going to make the headlines. Queer woman in Brooklyn says that Sutton's outfit was a
smash.
No, but before we get to the episode, I do want to say thank you to everyone who is continuing to support the podcast in whatever way you support it. So that's financially or by rating, reviewing, all that good stuff. But in a way to say thank you, we just once again want to read a 5-star review from Apple Podcasts. Yes.
Hey.
So once again, rate a 5-star review on Apple. We will read it here on the pod. And today we have a review from Hannah GC. And the title of the review is Love These Divas. I love listening to Tom and Kix. It's like talking to my siblings. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks, Hannah.
Honestly, that's all that needs to be said. Thanks, Hannah. And you know what? If you feel inclined, you must rate, review, subscribe on all platforms. If you don't use Apple Podcasts like I don't, then follow us on Spotify so you can get the most recent episodes. They'll download straight to your phone. And we also have a Patreon.
Yes, Patreon, America's Next Top Model, Cycle 4, covering that there. Yeah, you guys know the stuff.
Drill.
I feel like I don't want to cloud y'all with too many logistics sometimes.
It was a cloudy day out.
It was, but somehow you were still sweating.
Sweating my ass off.
How? I literally was not. So it was like not cold. I mean, not hot.
Okay. I logged a box that is, I'm going to show you a picture of this box after we are done because I couldn't even pick it up.
Like, what was in it?
I think it weighed 100 pounds.
Oh, the books.
And it's only coffee table books. Oof, honey, I pulled out my back and then I was sweating my ass off and then my AC was off. Moving sucks. Now I'm getting off.
We can take this off the pod. Off mic. We are going to get into this episode. So stay tuned.
I just sounded like I was like starting like comedy set.
You did. Stay tuned. 1 second. We have our Bravo chat this week once again with Eric Williams of That's a Gayest Podcast. Follow him at Eric Wills on all the things, and it's a great chat. So we'll be back in 1 sec. Okay, and we are back to chat all things Bravo today with the face, the host, the body of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. You can follow Eric Williams at Eric Wills on Instagram and Twitter, and Eric Wills TT on TikTok. And he's with us today. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Kix. The body of the podcast. How would you describe my body personally? What do you think about my body?
What do you think about your body? You're very handsome.
Thank you.
Very lean.
Thank you so much.
I think I would say. Is that the look you're going for?
Yeah, let's say yes. What if I was like, no, actually, I was trying to bulk up.
I love your podcast. I also die for your TikToks and your reels. You are truly one of the funniest that we have on the internet right now, I think. And the world, everyone else should think that.
How dare? I mean, God, I just...
I mean that. I'm not throwing that. I don't compliment everyone who comes on here, so...
Well, which...
what a great host you are, yeah.
I go back to your past episodes. You're just reading everyone for filth. I'm like, oh, he's not kidding. He's really mean.
Yeah, he's actually an asshole.
No, that makes me very happy. And I just, you know, with the pandemic of it all, I've just been trying to put the things out without judging them. And here we are.
And what's sad is I learned this from listening to your podcast that you are soon leaving the great state of New York.
I know, and I was leaving. Listening to your podcast and knowing that you live in New York. So,
and baby, I left for 4 months and came straight the fuck back. So.
Really? Wait, yeah. This is an interesting epilogue because I'm leaving for really the first time. I've lived here for 13 years and I'm leaving in like a month and a half to go to LA. So where did you go, Kix?
Well, long story short.
Do you want to go into the full story? I don't think we told the full. If you want to, go for it.
I mean, most of our listeners can have deduced things, but I moved to Atlanta with a partner. It didn't really work out. So I came back to New York and happy to be back. Everything's great.
Listen, it's better to have loved and lost in Atlanta than to have never gone to the perimeter. Listen, my in-laws are all in Atlanta, Georgia, so I'm very well acquainted.
No, it's literally a gorgeous, gorgeous place, and it really
That's
is.
Not what you said when you were there.
It's stunning. I mean, I was in the
Well,
suburbs.
When you're going through a tough dating, nothing is gorgeous.
No, I know. No, really, it isn't. The world is very dark.
Every morning, I walked around a university. It was stunning. It was really pretty. It just, like, emotionally wasn't there.
Listen, great. I get it. And also, like, my husband wants us to live there one day, and I'm not against it, but it's a no for
me.
Oh,
in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah. And it's a no for me right now, dog. But, like, I am not going to say no forever.
Sure.
Yeah, why not? You never know. You can also, depending on how the money flows in, you can have houses everywhere.
I'm planning Isn't to that what we be dream of? Disgustingly rich. That's the plan.
I want that so badly because I want a house everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask Tom first. You get filthy rich. You have a gorgeous place already in New York. Where's the next place you buy something?
I would love to have a place in like a, I feel like this is going to be a bit of a twist, but like somewhere either cold and coastal or like a mountain place, like a nice, like Camille Grammer, like Beaver Creek home.
Sure. We love,
there's something so fancy about being like the beach. I'll go to the resort for the beach, but do you want to come to my
mountain?
My Aspen home?
My like chateau.
Don't you think having an Aspen chateau sounds so much more glam than being like, I have a beach down in my, I have a house down in Miami.
Because you know, that, like, you're right. Cause Miami, no one thinks of like, taste plus rich, but like right. I think with like Aspen, I think that you can have a chef prepare a gorgeous meal, and then my big fantasy is then after you eat, maybe you've smoked some weed or living your truth, you then go to the hot tub outside. It's freezing cold. Absolutely. The steam is coming up from the hot tub.
The hot tub is covered in snow.
Yeah,
and then you have to like shovel it off to like get
like,
in.
Oh, I hate when this happens.
That's something I've never done that I've always wanted to. Is like take. I've never experienced like hot tub and snow. I don't think.
I don't know if I have either. And the only devastating part is then when you get out of said hot tub and it's 4 degrees, you're like, oh, so I will.
And your body's literally steaming. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I actually think it's okay because you're hot. Your skin's hot as fuck, and
well,
then
that's
you just
why
run
you
inside.
Have a cashmere robe, honey, sitting right next to the hot tub.
Right. Well, sure. My butler would have that ready for us. So. What was the butler's name? What was the butler's name in Beverly Hills? Paul, I think.
Paul.
It was a P name. I think Paul's right.
It was very Walter is angry.
Walter.
Walter, excuse me, Walter from Salt Lake.
Yeah, it was. Wait, Kix. What about you?
I don't know what I thought you were going to say, Tom, but I will have the same because like my dream.
That's boring.
It's boring. It's boring because we also.
So you're following me to Aspen?
Okay, fuck off. I don't want to be in Aspen. So you can have Aspen.
Okay.
You want what, like a Utah? Do you want? Okay, I want
Colorado mountain house.
Oh yeah.
No, Idaho is stunning. We have family in Idaho.
Oh my god, Idaho is. I was fully like, oh wow, I guess I'm moving to Idaho. It was the only issue is I think like the politics of it all.
Yeah, I would say Republican is the issue there.
Famously, yeah.
No, I say the mountains in Idaho are really nice because they're so beautiful, and it kind of looks like Colorado, but no one goes there. So like everything's really cheap.
My dream so I want like a fancy New York City place and then like a place out of the city and then a house in Colorado.
Like upstate,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
Or like New York upstate, aka like a mile, like an hour out.
Not a mile.
Yeah, you're like, I want to go to Yonkers. I mean, I would, I think I would do like a Beacon. I would do a Hudson. I would do like a gorgeous, there's that show on Netflix that was like, they were making Airbnbs almost like fixer upper for Airbnbs. And they did one in Hudson, New York that was so gorgeous. And I was like, I would love to own a stunning home, like by a main street, go get an ice cream cone and then go home. And during the winter, you have your hot tub, bing, bang, bong.
It's, there we go. Sing, sing,
it's
song.
All there. Well, they did do, like, the only reason I know this is from a million Hulu ads I got for it when Million Dollar Listing New York was coming back. Is it back?
Mm-hmm. It's over.
Great.
it came back and now it's
the
over.
The ads were like, in the commercials were talking about like, everyone's moving out of the city. And so they were like talking about like upstate.
Oh, did houses. They do, did they do houses?
I guess.
Did Frederick make his way to Hudson?
I mean, that's all.
But that's a show I've never watched completely, at all. And I, you know, that's a lie. I think I did watch LA right in the beginning because I remember that like disgustingly hot man that was on LA. He had like long hair and like was, I think he was gay and had like truly the most like
oh, I think I know who you're
hard,
talking.
Well, like the hardest abs I've ever seen.
Oh yeah. I remember a long haired, hard bodied man, but you need the New York is trash. I think it's like my husband, Matt, watches it, but we agree that Ryan is true garbage. But
yep.
Speaking of hot, Steve on New York.
Oh, Steve is the hottest I've ever seen. He's the hottest on Bravo, period.
I'm looking at
But like, well, that's actually a good conversation about like, because I'm famously super into daddies and like, give me a bald man and a beard, give me a hairy body, of course. But like, Steve.
This man is.
You've never seen him
I've
before?
I've never seen this man. I'm sorry to this man.
Unbelievably hot. I am sorry
okay,
to this man.
Okay, this is similar to the moment when I saw John Moody for the first time on Google.
Did you know who John Moody is?
No, who's John Moody?
John Moody was on Southern Charm New Orleans, which is a slept on show if you need something to watch on a Sunday morning or afternoon. He has like rock hard abs is like an understatement. He's insane.
So and so hot. It's not just like his body's hot, like his whole body, like
no,
everything's hot.
Isn't it?
He's wearing a turtleneck in this picture and through the turtleneck, yeah. I see the muscles.
He's also an incredible artist.
Oh, he is. See, here's the thing. I want to make one thing clear. He is next level gorgeous. The things I would do, the things he could do, I give him full permission. But abs do not a hot person make, but his,
I agree.
Clearly his energy is hot. Like, give me a fluffy daddy. Give me a bouncy boo-boo. Give me a giga gaga. Like, come on now.
Not bouncy boo-boo.
No, come on now. Bouncy boo-boo is my, well, I wouldn't say that's my type because then I think Brian would be mad if I said.
He's not listening to this.
I know, but he'd be so upset if I was like, I love my bouncy boo-boo.
Be my little bouncy boo-boo. He's like, what did you call me?
Who's looking like a little bouncy boo-boo today? Yeah, no, I get it. I agree. Like, I find, like, unfortunately, Harry Dubin is hot. Like, I get it.
He's objectively not hot.
No,
Out of all the daddies that we have, how dare you?
I'm being a bit of an extremist here, but what I'm saying, though, is, like, I get why they fawn over him.
Yeah. I would never keep saying someone over Harry Dubin. I think Harry Dubin probably 10 years ago, would I gargle on a ball or two? Please, yes. Right yeah, now, absolutely. It's tough for me to say, but I don't fault you for saying that, Tom. And why would I?
I'm not saying I'm looking to like
gargle
go down. Gargle
but what about
a ball or
what about Jackie's husband in New Jersey? Evan.
I would do everything with him today, yesterday, the day before, and tomorrow.
Absolutely correct.
The only thing about him that I get mad at, and I feel like, Eric, you're going to be very similar on this page. I hate when you see someone like him who, like, rocks a full beard, but then, like, does a full wax of his chest. And I'm like, that's such a disgrace to, like, what you could have working for you.
A slap in the face to God. It just really is disrespectful. And also, like, as a fellow Jew, I think that you are really not honoring your roots by taking out the extra root of your follicle hairs on your chest. It's like... Why would you show this gorgeous body, this beautiful beard, and then I'm running my hand across a
stubble.
Sticky chest?
No, stubble? The thing is, yeah, you wax it and then like shave it, whatever you want to do. No matter what, it's going to grow back and it's going to be stubbly. And now when your wonderful wife is laying on your chest, you're going to get scraped.
Or me. Or Eric. Or me. Do we actually believe that she never blows him?
I kind of believe it. She's pretty adamant about it. That's not something you just say if I don't know. I feel like she might really not.
But then do you think they are compensating in a different way where their sex life is like do you think he is satisfied?
She doesn't blow him, but she does put his dick in her ear.
Oh, ear. Okay. I was gonna go butt, okay. But
I bet they get into some stuff. I feel like she like could be a little freaky.
Yeah, she's
I feel
probably
like their sex
choosing,
is better than
she's choosing well, to say that she doesn't suck his yeah. dick, but she is not saying that she'll do a full swivel with him in her butt, like something like that.
Right.
I didn't mean to get so dirty on this podcast, but I don't know.
It's okay. It's I'm happy to go here.
Our parents do listen, but we've said much worse. So.
No, but I've said that though about the chest thing about like bachelor contestants. Remember there was that contestant on Tayshia's season who I think he was like a body hair specialist or like a grooming specialist.
Yes, grooming
and
specialist.
He was like waxed within an inch of his life, but had like a full on like lumberjack beard. And I'm like, okay.
Nothing's not adding up here.
Yeah. Someone's not doing the math right. okay, well, enough about that. We are here to chat about reality TV with you and Bravo. Before we get on into all of that, though, we like to check in and hear about everyone's journey with reality TV. And when you, Eric, said to yourself, I am a dumpster diva, and was there a certain person on reality like that you were specifically drawn to? And it doesn't have to be Bravo.
So I really love this question because it really makes me go back into my past. And I think when you like chronologically, it's tough to say what was the number one thing because my mind immediately goes to Nigel Barker on America's Next Top Model. Oh, and I know we went through like a filth fest about talking about gorgeous men, but I think the combination of the drama of the show plus him being, it made me fall in love with a bald man for the first time. And he just has such a calming personality. And then coupled with the drama of the show and Tyra's insane antics. But I will also say that Orange County Housewives was the actual first, one of the first reality shows I actually diligently watched when they would have like full run throughs. And I read Brian Moylan's book because I had him on my podcast and we were talking about kind of the beginnings of Bravo. And I remember when they were really trying to push, reading about when they were trying to push the Housewives and like people weren't sure at first if it was going to be received at all. And they just kept putting the show out like reruns and during really high traffic times, and it got me. I was like living in St. Louis, Missouri, a teenager, and I was just like, okay, whoever Vicky Gumbelson is, I need to be watching. Whoever Gina and her crazy attractive children, I'm like
Shane.
That just I think drama plus attraction to me has always been
a through line.
And I was actually listening to your amazing episode with Emerson, and when he was talking about Danny on the Real World of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Huge for me as well.
Well, all these are great answers. I do think there's a very small group of us that actually watched the first season of OC, like in that time frame, you know. I think a lot of people got on board with the whole Housewives shtick. I think there's a couple spots, right? So I think one spot we would have to be Teresa flipping the table. I think that was like one of the first like big moments, but that was a little later on though, because at that point we had already gotten New York and Atlanta.
Right.
So I do think New York, there's that dumb fight that Ramona and Vicky got into like on Watch What Happens Live. That was probably like written for them, but like who put Housewives on the map?
Oh, right.
And Ramona's like, well, everybody knows I put Housewives on the map. You know, and then like Vicky was like, no, but we were the first. And it's like, I kind of, for the first and last time, kind of agree with Ramona, because like the cast of that first season of OC is a bit of a sleeper, you know?
Yeah.
Like Vicky's good. Gina has some there. Joe in her little maid outfit on episode one, dancing around the house, has some there. But like New York cast, like we have a lot of them still, you know, here.
That's true.
They're still with us.
Yeah, a lot of them are still alive. There is going to come a day when we lose some, you know.
Can Can you? Oh my God, that's so sad. Because like, you think about like, okay, 10 years from now, what are we watching? But then you also think about who's going to be living. Like the obituaries when we're older and we're like, can you believe you hear about Luann? Like, that's dark, but like, that's what we're going to be saying.
I know.
Okay. I want to shift gears a little bit because I want to go back to Nigel for a second. Because so Tom and I recently rewatched.
Currently.
It's still airing. Currently rewatched season 4 of America's Next Top Model for our Patreon. Mm. And it has been a wild ride. And I highly, highly recommend it to everyone. Also, highly recommend listening to us. But it's interesting because I was the same way. I thought Nigel was like so sexy and like his bald head and just like he's very not tame, but he's just very content. Like he lives in a stage of neutral, but he says the rudest fucking things.
Yeah. On this rewatch, there's this, I don't know if you remember Brittany from Cycle 4. She was like, she kind of looked a lot like Janice Dickinson and they always were like, you look just like Janice. It's a season with Naima and Kaylin and all them. So Brittany is like, so like her shtick is just like, I'm hot. Like, and she is, she's hot.
She's hot, yeah.
And literally every panel, like Tyra, like Nigel makes jokes like, I'm getting a little horny here and like need to put my dick away. Like he's not saying those things, but he says things like that. And Tyra's like, Nigel, calm down. I know you're getting a little bothered. Like it's so gross. Weird. And this girl,
and he calls,
he's like at the time, probably 35.
Yeah.
But at the time he was like 35 and Brittany was like 18. It's like, this is weird.
I don't like that for so many reasons, but I think my initial really problematic response is like, but you know what? He's probably just trying to prove that he's straight and it's a different time, but that does not excuse a damn thing.
No.
But it's also when I think when you probably go back to watch a lot of these shows in the early days, like it's an immediate look into how things have changed for the better.
Absolutely.
And of course many things still need to change, but like the fact that Nigel has said all these shitty things, that's a tough pill for me in this moment.
I'm not trying to call you out because I too was in the same boat. Like I thought he was like everything.
Oh, everyone.
When I first moved to New York City, I was in an acting school that was in Chelsea, and Chelsea Market is where a lot of the studios were for like different shows. And I would see him walking through Chelsea Market in like 2008. And I'd be like, oh my God, it's my first celebrity. I'm obsessed with him. And meanwhile, he's this like gross straight guy, like all the rest of them.
Like all of them. Is he straight?
Yeah, he's married with kids. That doesn't mean he's straight, but he's married.
Fair.
To a woman. Wait, what was there was a third one. You said OC, you said
Real World.
Oh, you know, we need to jump into, I think another thing that brought the Housewives into the universe though is NeNe. Like I think NeNe, I think it like Atlanta in general, like that, I think it was the new first season of New York, the flip of the table, and I think just NeNe as a personality. She was like she was Bravo's first personality, I felt like. Mm-hmm. Like in the way that Tiffany Pollard took over VH1, like NeNe became the first like legendary personality on Bravo.
Yeah. NeNe, I think, was like such star quality that I think that they did not know that they could actually get with the Housewives. And I think like that's probably why Ramona has stuck around as insane as she is. And that's why Bethany was on for so long, but why other Housewives have not stayed is because they didn't have the NeNe leaks of it all. Like, I think that as divisive as she can be, Kenya Moore, I think, has that similar star quality that, and there's a reason why she stayed on for so long. Are you both Team Kenya, or are you like not enjoying watching the villain of her?
No, I do very much enjoy Kenya for TV. People often think that when I say, I feel like a lot of people in the online discourse, it's so crazy. And you're like, I love this housewife. And everyone's like, are you an asshole? I'm like, well, no, but like, like she makes for great TV. Like, I don't want
to
be your friend.
So Tom and I approach like TV characters very differently because I like the real people that are like kind of kind and but kind of shady and mean well. Like, Robin is pissing me off this week, but typically Robin, I'm going to say it. I like Cynthia.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's not that I don't like them.
Yeah. No, I just like, I don't like, it's sometimes difficult to watch when women are just like, so not women, actually, when reality TV people are just so mean. It's just like, it's hard to watch for me sometimes.
Well, it's hard. I think the tough thing to watch is when you're watching someone, are they being a bad person because they're a bad person, or are they trying to further the plot of the show they're on? And I think the best housewives are the ones that you can love to hate watching them. Mm-hmm. Take two. Yeah, you absolutely can love to hate them, period. But then there are other mm-hmm. ones like, oh, are you just a bad person? And that's why Ramona got a lot of flack this season, I think, because we often love to watch how horrible she can be or her antics. But like, I tweeted this, I have never really been offended by the housewives much, but the whole Shabbat yeah. dinner thing, I was like, no, I think this is bad. I think you're being bad, Ramona. I think like, yeah, I'm kind of offended.
I think that's not that crossed the line, but I think that affected a lot of people. Like, and I think because it came from a lot of directions, right? We had like her disrespecting, like the Shabbat dinner in itself. And then her also like coming for the Jewish community for coming for her when she was yeah. in college.
No one cares about you. That's what I want to say. I'm like, no one in college cared about you. And yes, you've worked hard. I'm not discounting the fact that she started from nowhere and now she's here. But like,
no, but they were mean to her because she was an asshole.
Yeah.
She's never not been an asshole.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's like, were the Jews mean to you because they are Jews who are mean, or were they, or they're just like the people you were around, some of them happen to be Jewish and you were being a bitch. Right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But I think ending of Nene's seasons on Atlanta were tough because she was veering towards not playing the game of the show in a way that was fun to watch, mm-hmm. where for most of her years, it was so fun to watch her. At the end, it was like she wasn't actually playing ball. But there's a reason why, and not to bring it down or be too sad, but like when her husband passed away recently, that's why there was I had such a visceral reaction because I was like, I feel like I know this person and I love mm-hmm. this person. Yeah. And, you know, her last seasons aside, or problematic behaviors or whatever aside, you still love her star quality and like her magnetism. And like, that's why if something bad were to happen to Ramona or her family, like I would probably still have the same reaction, even though for a moment I was really pissed at her. But like, as much as we can hate her sometimes, Ramona's got it. Unfortunately, yeah, on television, she has it.
Yeah, yeah, she does have it, and you can't deny that. So before we jump into our shows, did you see the trailer for Winterhouse?
I did.
Looks pretty electric.
I can't wait.
It's gonna be electric. I'm really into the summer house people, and unfortunately kind of anti-Southern charm, just because I think it really triggers the like watching straight men be straight men on and like be celebrated for. I'm like, not for me. I'm not the target audience. But to put them with the summer house people, giving us a Sierra, giving us a Paige, giving us a Kyle. I originally with Amanda and summer house, I was like, why is she here? Kyle's hooking up with some random girl. And okay. But she is really, I've turned around and I'm huge Amanda stan.
I've always, again, because I like the boring people, I always have been a fan of Amanda. And yeah, I hear you, because this last Summer House season, even the one before, and then this, even this trailer, I'm like, these ladies bringing
totally.
It. And Paige, like, say what you will about her antics on the show.
She's got it.
She's got it.
Oh, her, I like Paige.
Like her looks, she just gets what she's like there to do. She's like,
well, she's the type of cool girl that you watch, but you still feel kind of cool with her. She's not like, you mm-hmm. know, in high school, she was probably maybe kind of mean to a couple of people, but she also,
especially the gays,
but she like is so like hot and cool. And it's like on the television program, she makes you feel included. And that's why I'm sad that Carl is not going to be on this Winterhouse, because I root for him so hard now, seeing his glow up from like hot hairy asshole to hot hairy nice guy. I'm like, come on now. I'm loving this trend. Hot,
thick hairy nice guy.
Thick. Thick hairy ass.
We know the ass is hairy. Confirmed the ass is hairy.
Definitely
ass.
Hairy.
It couldn't not be.
So Tom, if you are on a date with Carl, and he kisses you.
Okay.
Does your hand go to his chest or to his butt?
Oh, see, chest. I actually like am not as much of a butt. I appreciate a good butt, but I think a nice chest is a bit more like attractive.
We love. I love his answer. Kix, what about you?
Butt.
See? Two
Don't
sides.
Don't even have to hesitate.
The butt's great. I mean, I'd love to look at it and I would like to grab it in the bedroom sexually, but sure. I think there's something so like fun about like when you're first kissing a guy, be like,
oh yeah. So wait, but why do we think Carl's not on this new show?
I honestly thought he was.
No, he's not. He's never been on it.
You know what? No one else has either. So.
No, I know, but I'm saying like when we've known this for.
I know. I just kind of. I skated over it and just kind of assumed that he was there.
No, I think it has something to do. Remember, this was filmed forever ago. Yeah. That's the thing about Summer House that makes literally no sense. We always, when we have the reunions for Summer House, I'm always like, y'all, we are literally talking about something that happened like almost a year ago. Like not like Housewives where it happened like 7 months ago. Like,
right. Like
these things are happening so far in advance because they backlog just because I think of how the show is programmed.
Well, it's about releasing because they don't want to release a winter show in the summertime and vice versa.
Right. But so Winter House was filmed, I think, right in the middle of his him dealing with sobriety. And because I think by the time they filmed the reunion for Summer House, they had already filmed Winter House, is my understanding.
Yeah.
And so because they filmed Winter House in like January, but the Summer House reunion was in like May. Mm-hmm. So I think it had already been filmed. And he kind of talked about like actually needing to get sober.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been a scary place to be.
Yeah, good for him.
Which I really respect someone that can make a decision for themselves that maybe is to the detriment of their reality show career, which I think some people, I can't even think of an example right now, but like some people clearly choose the show over their personal life and then you just watch their personal life like go down the drain. Who would be a good example of that? I mean, like...
There's a
Dorinda?
Lot of them. Yeah.
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 Tamara Judge literally did that.
Well,
Tamara was like, her daughter was like, I will literally start hanging out with you again. And like, we'll start speaking to you again if you stop being on TV. And she's like, my daughter doesn't support me.
My daughter doesn't support me. I mean, and you know that Tamara would much rather, ooh, this is dark, but she would much rather be on that show than be talking to her daughter.
Because she gets a storyline out of it too. It's a double whammy.
Ooh, I do not want to have the level of fame where I'm like, I'd rather have a camera on my face than talking to the person that I birthed.
No, that's insane.
Oh, wait, no. So I just want to clarify something. I said, say what you will about Paige. I understand that she has said some very problematic things, but so I don't want that to
I think everyone heard it. I think you're good.
I know. I was like, yeah, say what good. You will about her. But she has some very racist.
You're good. I bet you. You're good.
Great. That's all. Thanks.
Sometimes you stress about those things, and I'm like, I think everyone gets it. Like we all get what we're talking about here.
I
think also sometimes you overestimate the reach this listenership has.
There's just that one day when we're gonna go viral for like us saying something stupid about Teresa Giudice's
Kicks, daughter. You're on a podcast with me. They're gonna come for me before they come for you.
And that's what I just said. They're going to come for you about Teresa Giudice's daughter, not Bert.
On our first episode, Eric, talked shit about Gabriella and how it's known that she could not be.
Not known. It's alleged.
I was acting like it was known when we were recording that like that she's not, doesn't have the same mom or doesn't have the same dad as the others because she doesn't look, I mean, she objectively doesn't look like them. But
okay, and the kicker of this all is that one of our friends reached out to Tom being like, hey, heads up, when you say things like that, just know that they might come for you. So just say alleged before you say things like that.
But what's so relatable to me about that is like when you first start a podcast, you're like, I'm just talking to friends and we're happy to be recording it. And then you realize that people listen to it. Cause I got in trouble too when I first released my podcast. And that's also very funny that you said that, because I've actually, you watch the show and you're like, something's a mess here. But like, I have a twin brother who's a full foot shorter than me. And I like, you know, my parents are my parents, but I'm a freak in my family. I'm a freak. And so like, there is a chance that they are her parents, but there's also a chance they're not, allegedly.
But here's the thing, Eric, you're not a good example because you're a twin. Like,
there's literally no way that's possible.
No offense, but like that's not a good.
You know what? Fuck you. No, I went through an identity crisis when I was like 14 or 15 because I was like, I'm so different from these people. I bet you I was switched in the hospital. Like they say we're twins, but I mean, and now I know that it's not true, but
no.
Sorry, I didn't mean to just re-traumatize you.
Not at all, please. The trauma's been processed. There's preservatives. I'm putting it into a package.
Speaking of dragging, I was actually LOLing at your... You made a TikTok about your brother having a fat ass. And then people were saying like that... I saw that like you were getting comments of people being like, why are you talking about your brother's body? Like, that's your brother.
They're like, now I'm part of the TikTok where people are sexualizing their brothers. I'm like, okay. Never once did I say I wanted to fuck my younger brother. Sue me for noticing the giant dump truck ass that's staring me in the face every day I'm visiting home. Sorry for that. But he literally will, I actually talked about it on, I think, last week's episode of my podcast. I'm just like, he will complain about his huge ass. And I am like, you need to know what you have. Carries a lot of weight in my community. The currency is really of high value, and you should just be proud of what you have. And when I posted that video, the amount of gay men that were like, what's his ad? And like talking about eating my brother's ass. I was like, okay,
this didn't work on all sides.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, all press is good press, but
yeah, literally like two extremes.
That's the thing about TikTok is you're just begging for strangers to comment on your things. And I actually got into a very dark place when I had a video go viral in a bad way, where it was like in Trump TikTok. And I got really depressed because I had literally 20,000 people tell me how dumb I was. So I was like, oh, I guess I am dumb. I'm dumb and Trump is good. Like, that's what I started to think. But like, I've learned since then that, you know what? People are going to say what they're going to say. And if they think I want to fuck my brother, I know deep down that I don't want to.
Great.
and you hold the key to that secret. So there you go.
It's my little secret.
Let's pop over to Potomac.
Yeah, I think we should change the subject.
We haven't even talked about any shows yet.
No.
So I just want to start this Potomac chat off by just like acknowledging our dear friend Chelsea Ono Bravo on Instagram. She noticed this, and I did too, that the beautiful frenemy relationship that's building between Karen and Wendy showing up to Karen's wedding dress fitting and wearing all white is truly a chef's kiss. The battling of the wicks, like there's so much fun.
Wait, is the wicks referring to the candles?
Yeah, not John Wick.
It is the wicks. Like actually the three wick versus the one wick.
Oh, sure.
Cause Karen's releasing the three wicks and Wendy's candle as of right now, that's not out. Only has one wick.
But, well, I did see that Karen was like, I've been working on this for a long time. The girls knew I was working on a candle line. I didn't have to tell. I was like, I guess, but Karen can do no wrong in my book.
Same.
Oh, absolutely. Her 2 weeks or whenever, when she like used Ray at a press conference in Surrey County to announce her candle line, I was like, this
to
is
10 people.
You're being very generous.
I
with
often
10.
Think about that though, like when you can tell when the women on these shows are trying to just say the name of their company. And they're doing it. And like, that was one of the bigger stretches we've seen. It's like, and I also, Ray, do you want to say anything? He's like reading from a script. Well, I also wanted to say that we, it's like, okay, I don't think this press conference in, is it Surrey?
Surrey.
Surrey, yeah.
Surrey County.
I mean, I was just waiting for like the one solo clap to be like.
I know. How many takes do you think? They were like, one more time, right from the top. He's like, and she's releasing. Oh, no, sorry, one more time.
Lost your mic, Ray. Sorry, one more time, babe. Just so bad and so poorly acted, right? I mean, we love, but love also him. The frenemy, like, I think that Wendy this season, I think a second season is very tough, as we're seeing with Leah in New York, and that, you know, the terrible twos is a very real thing. And at the beginning, did I think Wendy was going a little far with like presenting her new boobs and all those things? A little bit. But then the second that Karen went after her for that and Robin shaming her for her celebrating her own body, I'm actually liking the storyline, because I, like we're talking about villains, I enjoy not liking Giselle, and I enjoy rooting for someone who is against Giselle. And Wendy, ooh, smart woman who I think could take Giselle down, and I want to fucking see it.
I do too, because the way I can't stand Giselle, I've never ever liked her.
She's the antithesis of what you like, and she's like, because she is there to stir pots.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's anti-kicks.
Yeah. No, even like first season, second season, I like got, so I watched the first season live, and then I fell off for like a couple seasons, and Tom was like, no, you got to get back in. And so then I got back in, and I was like, why do people like Giselle? It was like tough.
And well, now do I'm, they? That's the question. Do
well,
they?
There was like two seasons where she was like fun.
Tom, go off, Tom.
Okay, no, I have not liked her in the past two seasons. I haven't liked her since she got back with Jamal.
Oy.
And I know they're not really together now, but when she's with him and trying to figure out that relationship, I think she is the worst version of herself. Like, when she is dating or single, I think her fun shade is not so mean, but I think she gets meaner when she's with him because she has to protect herself because she's so scared that people are going to eviscerate her in every chance they get. So I think
I just get so frustrated with like all housewives that are so like contradictory and hypocritical when it comes to this kind of stuff, because she's like literally won't close her mouth talking about like other people's families, and then the second people ask her about it, she's like, don't ask me about that. That's none of your business.
Well, that's the whole thing about not playing the game, I think, is why. And I actually like Giselle on the show because of the drama she creates. And again, enjoying not liking her. But I agree with you, Kix, that like when she stirs the pot with everyone else and talks about how horrible their relationships are, like in this first scene of this episode this week where she was recording her podcast and talking about the statistics of cheating and, you know, basically being like, so it's 350% more likely that you'll be cheated on again if it happened one time. I'm like, first of all, you definitely have been cheated on many times, so I see where this is coming from. But also, your quote unquote best friend next to you is engaged to a man who did cheat on her. So how is Robin supposed to be taking this?
Yeah, I don't think they get it. Like, they just, like, don't... The two of them, like... Robin is fully hypnotized by Giselle all of a sudden, I feel, and it's frustrating. And I think that... I think part of it is I think they're getting a little in their heads about how famous they're actually becoming famous. They weren't before because no one watched Potomac, but now people are.
Right.
And they just think that the way you just said, they're like, right.
They are famous. Right.
I mean, Nicki Minaj. Yeah,
I just think they're all having a bit of identity crises because like the show's getting bigger. Robin's getting hat deals at Macy's. Giselle's
the fucking hats, Tom. It's one of my favorite businesses to make fun of on these shows. It's like camo hats. I understand there's a market for it, but like, it's just, it really goes with Robin's storyline that she in many ways does the bare minimum. She's just like, I'll do a hat.
But also stick to the hat. That's what I never understand. Yeah. Like, it's like, stick to what you're good at.
The hat is a good idea. Like, the idea behind making a hat for like Black women and Black men is such a great idea. But like, do that and then don't do anything else.
Don't make
clothes. Is she still flipping houses?
No, I think that was a one-time gig. I think she flipped a house.
No, okay. honestly, I think she is still flipping houses. I remember her posting something about like a new house that she's doing with her mom or something.
With her mom?
Yes,
her mom. She was doing it with her mom.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, I think everyone tries to be Bethany. I mean, Bethany took a liquor line and then turned it into something, but I don't know that everyone has. The market was not so clouded, if you will, with Housewives products at that point in time.
Well, I was reading about like the creator like economy of how much so many people are creating different brands, and that Oprah is an example that you actually can't follow now because there are now so many more people creating things that it's Oprah is her own thing that you cannot replicate. Just like Bethany, I think you can't replicate it. And so all these housewives having products, I get it. And I would do the same thing, but you're right. You got to stick to your lane. And like, I think just embrace what is working for you because I had a point.
Because
that's how it works.
It's like,
it's okay.
It's really the Dorit of it all because she's the one that's like, I'm going to try wedding dresses now. I'm going to try bathing suits now. I'm going to make a room at Buca di Beppo when I'm
We'll get to her.
What?
I said, we'll get to her.
Yeah. Jesus.
Wait, so we should talk a little bit about this dinner. Well, we have two dinners to talk about, one on Potomac, one on BH. But before we move on to BH, we had a little birthday dinner for Robin. This is kind of like the other big moment. Where Candace like came for Ashley's body, like for kind of no reason.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not gonna body shame you, but, and then insert body shaming here.
Right. I
like,
and I think what Candace does this though, it's like she always try, like when she's mean and yells at someone, she has to get like something funny in there. And so I think in her mind, she's like, this is gonna be funny. And what happened
and
was
below
just,
the belt.
Yeah, and what it always and what happened was. It was just like kind of, I think, some undertone issues she has with women that just came out in a quote unquote. She tried to be like, get the meme, get the gif of it all.
Right. She's trying to. It's not funny.
Well, I think is why Candace is on this show is because she can be incredibly problematic, but she can't help herself from being so. And again, love to hate her.
She's agree. One that I love to hate for sure.
Yeah. I really love to hate her.
I cannot wait for the music video. Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be good? I probably will.
No, it's out.
Oh my God. I haven't seen it. How is it, Tom?
I've seen it. I was laying in bed after an edible watching it the other night.
I'm excited to see the episode because her mom being there, it's just like, she has so many layers to her story of like, her husbandure, which is a stupid thing to say. And then now her mom is a crazy person.
Dorothy, we love Dorothy.
And then, you know, she really has a lot of storylines.
She does, but I think speaking of like her fight with Chris and the whole husbandure thing, that was a tough fight to listen to because obviously in relationships, you're always going to have fights, but the way you fight with each other is very important. And that felt like a pretty dirty fight of like
but on camera they fight like that often. I feel like
I think that's their kind of love language.
Yeah, you know, they have like passionate sex after. Absolutely. But babe, it's not worth it.
Well, y'all, we never forget the fight where she was like, the next morning, it was her first season, and the next morning after their fight, the fight was not shown on camera, the cameras were down. The next morning she was like, Chris and I got in a fight last night. She's like, when you call me a princess, you don't know what that did to me. And I was like, this, I think I'm hooked on Candace. I mean, like,
well, yeah,
the lack of self-awareness to be like
the delusion. Yeah. It's the delusion of with this fight of this episode of, I just like, what, you're going to work when you're not going to work on my music video? It's like, he's not getting paid to be your manager. And it's like, so what if the guy needs to make some money on a cooking class? Like, I get it. I asked my husband about every fucking video and podcast thing, like, but he has a job. And so if he has to work, I'm not going to be like, why can you help me film this TikTok? It's like, because he has a fucking job. That's why.
I do want to see the other side of your TikToks where he's holding the camera, like rolling his eyes.
Yeah, there's a TikTok there, honestly.
I mean, we had a fight about because he wouldn't improv in one of the videos I made. I was like, now he can improv. He's like, just tell me what to say. I'm like,
honey.
Quit improv.
Yeah, like, so what you're saying is you don't support,
me. Got it.
So you think I'm bad. He's like, how did you make that connection?
Well, let's pop over to BH because yet another like electrifying week in Beverly Hills.
Where
all we're doing
season.
is going from one dinner party to the next. There's not even much filler footage in between said dinner parties.
But which is weird because they are filming during dinner parties. As we see this episode, they have B-roll and not even B-roll, but they have other scenes of them like at a gym or like, you know, it's like, why are we just showing dinner parties? But
I was saying last week with Emerson that like we need at BravoCon 2028, like in a room, like an art that's probably when we'll be out of this nonsense. We need like an art installation where they show the raw footage of the dinner party from Hell Part 2. Like I want it all. Like I want literally like the cameras from that room until they left.
Like 3-4 hours long.
I will watch it all multiple times.
They should do an immersive experience where we see every camera angle on a different wall and then you're eating the food they ate and then you have to wear the same clothes. I'll be dressed.
Yeah, you can smell their perfume.
Oh, like,
what are you going to be dressed as?
I feel like Crystal. I think I could rock a Crystal look personally, but I think Tom, you'd have to be Erica. Is that okay?
Oh God, I wanted. It is okay.
Who'd you want?
But I.
Who'd you want, Tom? Tell us who.
Who?
Say it. I don't want to be her. I just like want to see what that ugly orange jacket looks like on my body.
Okay, I didn't think it was that ugly.
I knew you were going to fucking say that.
I just like the color orange. Maybe that's why.
Kicks. There's literally like two like ghosts out of like some like Scooby-Doo episode like draped across the breast.
I think out of all of Sutton's outfits, that was the best one we've ever seen.
It's a low bar. It's a low bar, and I think we can accept that opinion.
Thank you. Guest.
My mind is turning in like upside down circles.
I don't
right now.
Get
you
it.
Think that's the
you
best?
Guys, his head is doing a full spin right now. He's doing full 360 spin. I'm seeing the back of his head
full
right now.
Full Beetlejuice.
No, I absolutely think it's the best outfit she's ever worn on the show. Except her red interview look. That's amazing.
The red interview look is amazing.
Is that the look where she has no makeup on and I'm like a little question mark about it?
She's really long hair. She's like a weave extension.
I'm not a person that you need to be caked in makeup. Absolutely not. But like for me, that felt like a deliberate choice that doesn't translate. Am I wrong?
I don't think she, but I really don't think she wears much makeup in general.
She doesn't, but that,
No, like literally no. Kix, you're showing it to me as if I didn't watch this episode.
This is a cool jacket.
Okay, I might like it on like a honestly, if anyone here in the chat could rock it, it's probably Eric. Like it needs to be someone tall.
Thank you so much.
Wait, Eric, which one? So you said you would want to wear Crystal and then Kix, would you want to wear Sutton's then?
No. I would look horrible in this.
You're like, that's so ugly.
I'm
like,
you
wait,
wanted
I'm
to
confused.
Wear it. Wait, I'm confused.
I would wear always Crystal is my like if I was rich and had to go to events, I would dress like Crystal. Like here I am, a tomboy in a dress. That's insane.
I want Kyle's face. I want the work that she's gotten done because Kyle looks
good.
Great.
Yeah.
There was an interview look that I think we hadn't seen before. Or maybe I just hadn't fully like wrapped my eyeballs around where her face looks like
it's a white
movie
shirt.
Star. Yes.
Yeah. With like a little strappy moment on the boobs. And then she's like a diamond choker on. She looks amazing.
Okay, so let's talk about Kyle for a little bit because people are getting a little mad that she's playing all sides of the coin, if you will, on this.
Sides of a coin.
Right, you know.
Okay.
She's playing every single side of a coin. The first side, the second side. Well, I guess that's it.
Well, there's a rich.
There's like the outside rich, the George Washington.
Kathy's the ridge around.
Kathy's the ridge that connects the coin, keeps
and
the coin
Sue
rolling.
Sue, Kathy's dog, is George Washington on the other side of the coin. I love that damn dog.
And then Archie for Shannon is the Sacagawea $1 coin.
Not Archie. Oh my God. That dog's cute and I hate Shannon.
Archie.
So Kyle is very divisive. And in my household, we still to this day have a years long fight. I have been and probably will always be Team Kyle, because there's a reason why this person is on the show for every gosh darn season. It's because she knows that sometimes you got to play all sides and then still maintain your gorgeous marriage to your Jewish Mexican husband. That's just what you do. And she does it so well. Matt thinks that she, by playing all of the sides, is that she is like copping out or just a bad housewife. And I'm like, no, that's why she's good, because she can persevere and stay on the show while having still deep relationships. Like her friendship with Sutton this season, I actually really like it, because it's showing
it's fun.
Sutton felt betrayed at the beginning of this episode when they were shopping, and that was it an auction house? Where were they?
That was
Antique Roadshow.
But like, I like seeing that. Questioning their friendship, and the reason why I liked quote it is because friendship. Sutton did the exactly quote unquote, and then I think they kind of made up and they felt fine by the end. But that's what we like to see, is these fast storylines. And I'm Team Kyle.
I'm Team Kyle too, because I think that in the end, we're saying she's playing all sides, but honestly, she's not really playing Erica's side. She's
just like quiet about it, which means she's not like for or against. Like in Erica, like in person with Erica, she just is literally dead silent.
She does not want to be included in Erica's shenanigans.
I just don't understand why these girls just ride for Erica like to death. Like, what is it?
Like, well, really, it's Lisa Rinna.
I don't think they are anymore.
Yeah, I think Rinna has been a little weirdly like just on her side when she's with her. But you can tell all the other women are like, I'm just gonna step to the side.
Yeah. Well, so there was a headline that came out in a news source that I cannot remember, that apparently Erica's no longer talking to both Dorit and Kyle.
Oh shit. I mean, it was bound to happen, where Erica was just...
It's for the best for Dorit and Kyle. Like, okay.
I don't feel bad for anyone in this. I just like, I don't know how she thought... I wonder how long it took for Erica to realize that we're on a TV show and everyone's talking about me, you know? Like, everyone's talking about you. Like, it's not like... You can't be that, like, shocked. You're filming a TV show and you... They were all over the news, like news, not like just like our little like Page Six news. Like they were on like big CNN. News.
Well, that's why I was kind of confused when Erica last week was like, why are you doing this to me? What are you doing? It's like, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're reading the LA Times and talking about it on the TV show they're filming. What else are they supposed to do?
Okay.
You know, last night was the first moment I had where I was like, maybe she doesn't come back actually next year. Because the thing is, she needs a check. So she needs to be there, because she's not going to get brand partnerships, and no one's going to like pay her to do anything on Instagram.
She's going to start a podcast. No shade to podcast, because here we are, but it's like, there's going to be something, but you still need to get paid for these things.
Is she going to be not in jail?
Well, I actually think that what's going to happen is that they just strip her of everything, and she just like has to pay everything. And like, she just files her bankruptcy because she can't pay
like
what
Tom
could.
Just like a white free way to get out of everything.
And so just kind of does. I actually don't know that she'll go to jail. I think Jen Shah is literally get your clankety clank ready. She's heading
pack
there.
Pack your bags, girly.
Pack your bags. You're going to
prison.
Jail?
Do you think it's, yeah.
But and once again, I am a musical theater major who now works in fitness, so I have actually no clue about any of these things.
I know,
so.
And I'm an ex tour guide moving to LA, hoping for I don't know a damn thing about the legal system.
Offline, we can talk about your tour guiding, because that's really cool.
Thank you so much.
I'm being serious. I really
thank you. We totally should.
Do you want to be a tour guide, Kix?
No, there's just something that I love a lot about a good tour guide or a good audio guide. It really makes or breaks a situation.
I agree. I mean, whenever we would travel before the pandemic, I was like, we got to do a tour, because I realized the magic of them. And you know what, to actually bring it all full circle, is that I was a New York City tour guide for many years, but a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, was a Real Housewives of New York City bus tour guide.
Oh, so fun.
Okay, I almost went to those like auditions or something that they had.
You would have killed it, but I got to go and witness one of the bus rides because they were needing to fill the bus for a press moment because Luann was going to show up. So we went, and Luann sat next to me and Matt, and this was right after she had gotten engaged, and so she was showing off her ring. And it was another example of don't meet your heroes because every time I've met a housewife, I'm like, oh yeah, it's better to keep them on TV.
I've met Kyle and she's wonderful.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. That would have been brutal.
No, she's really wonderful.
You've like been with her multiple times.
Yeah.
That we can talk about offline too. Yeah. This kicks gets weird when we talk about work, but yes. Let's jump into this little dinner that Garcelle threw a little bit. Looked absolutely adorable. I loved this whole thing. I love the Dorit Garcelle battle. I kind of just die for it.
To watch someone dunk on Dorit is just so satisfying.
Chef's kiss. She
is just waiting for someone.
This was one of Dorit's worst outfits of it.
Yeah, so she looked full, like, she really looked like the Joker.
Like Prince.
Joker, and then when Erica walked in, like, the full white button down, I thought it was a miss as well for me.
She paid for glam that day. She couldn't pay for glam for everything.
She paid for glam that day.
No, she did. She tried to do glam for that day. Yeah, for
pulled out the wallet, event. The dusty wallet for a glam night at Garcelle.
Blue on a wallet. I think the dinner looked bomb as fuck. Like everything was just like so gorgeous. And we're bopping around dinner party. We had to come.
I die for it.
But we did have a complaint on New York because it was the same situation. We were like, I hate this.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything to talk about except like.
Well, that's
Leah's
the thing
tits.
Is if you have dinner parties without actual substance, but also pardon the comparison, but I think the reason why Beverly Hills is here to stay, obviously, and why Dallas is a goner is because the women on Beverly Hills were excited by Garcelle's culture and the food that they were serving, and they were really embracing it. And I did think Lisa Rinna was a little too self-congratulatory. I don't eat fish, but I'm going to eat the fish. It's like, okay, good job for...
I ate the fish, everybody.
The
fish.
She said, quote unquote, I wrote it down because it keeps playing in my mind. She said, I didn't grow up in a fish family. Like, what
the
does that
fuck
mean?
Does
like,
that mean?
I understand what she's saying, but the way she says it, it's like, what the fuck?
You know, it was very Midwest to me. It was very like, you know, we're not a fish family. It's like, no, you just had two parents who would order Domino's and nothing else. Like, that's okay.
That's what we did.
Yeah. I love me too. I love a Domino's, but like also I had a tilapia every now and again.
Okay,
same.
Yeah. Wait, where are you? Where are you from?
Chacos. We're from Texas.
We're from Dallas.
Come on, Dallas.
I know. Canceled, honey. Dallas, R.I.P.
I'm like, speaking of Dallas.
we did skip over the PK Dorit combo that I did
about a daddy. I'm.
What?
Oh,
this has been so much fun, y'all. I'm gonna get out of here.
I'm gonna get out of here.
I am attracted to PK.
Oh,
listen. I love loving men, and I will not take this away from you. But I will apologize to Tom for having to know this knowledge.
I don't like. I thought I was not alone in this.
I could see your face drop from our reaction.
Kix, you are alone in this. I don't think I've ever heard someone say the words that just came.
Oh,
out of your mouth.
People like him.
I like that you've come so confidently said, "Yeah, and PK is hot, right?" Cricket.
No. I know I opened up a safe space when I said Harry Dubin was hot.
Oh, yeah,
if you
actually,
had to choose
Tom,
between Harry and PK, you would obviously choose PK.
I completely disagree. Eric.
Oy, this is really tough. I'm literally picturing myself on my knees.
Who's your favorite, me or Tom?
Harry Dubin or PK? PK. Well, what do I have to do to them?
fuck them.
Oh my god,
we gotta fuck them.
I didn't know.
Say that. I also never said I wanted to fuck Harry Newman, but you essentially just said you did want to fuck PK.
No, I don't. I'm just saying that that's what we call.
No, just a blowjob.
I think I would have to say Harry Dubin. I mean, you know what it is? It's because PK's energy, like at least Harry Dubin, you know that he is so confident that he at least like will put his hand on my head in a way that feels good. Whereas PK will do it in a way that's like, okay, don't touch me.
Do you think like that PK's Harry, there's no way Harry Dubin's good in bed.
That's you're really all over the place. You're wrong on that as well, because how could he have gotten so much, like, because
he's like rich?
No, I think he's good at what he does. I
don't you think
do.
That PK though was like the annoying guy in your class in school?
No,
yes, absolutely. And you know that those like hands are like so manicured within an inch of their life, like, and they're like touching your head and it's like it's so soft but not in an attractive way. Can you like take one moisturizer out of your morning routine?
Wow. Well,
wow, Kix. I don't really
also,
know
like,
where
to go. But
also,
can we make it very
here?
Clear that both y'all are freaks for both liking Harry Dubin and PK? Because those are, y'all are both jail.
Sure.
I don't, no, I mean, I know, if I had to choose a house husband on Beverly Hills, it would be Mauricio, obviously.
Okay. Yes. So, like, yes, of course.
Okay.
That's wait, okay, here's a question. Rob Minkoff or PK?
Rob,
reluctantly.
Rob.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, it is
weird.
He's
a sweet lover.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you think about all the children's movies he's written.
Then somebody loved me. That's a different
I'm like thinking about like Lion King. What if, do you think Crystal like whispers into his ear? It was like, Matata.
No, she wakes him up in the morning and goes, do you see everything you see from this clip is yours?
Take three. Do you see that, the land that's gonna be, you're gonna own it? Own it, baby.
Kicks, you really knew those words, right?
Look at the shadow land. So there's like a bear. Look to the left of that bear. That's yours.
Oh my god. Well, what I was gonna say about PK though is, did we not completely agree with everything he was saying though?
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I agreed. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh my god.
No, I felt like he was finally putting words to like what the. My favorite thing he said was when he was like, here's the thing. You guys need to stop saying that it's alleged that he stole this money, because he stole the money.
Yeah.
That is like, I don't true.
Know. He's like, I don't know why everyone's saying it's alleged, because it's there.
It's literally
like,
true.
And what he said about how Erica is positioning herself and everything, like social media stuff. Like, I totally agreed with him on that, because she should not be on the show. First of all, I get she has to cash her check, but
her
that's why
are, yes,
with every passing episode, I'm like, is she going to jail? Because it feels like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And how she's dealing with it is really bad. And PK, I agree with him.
Yeah, completely agree.
But and, then like the whole thing between him and Dorit of like, and she's like, well, I agree with everything he's saying. It's like, well, I don't think PK is always right. But in this conversation about Erica, I do think he was.
Yeah. I agree. And I also, he's continued to surprise me over like the past like 2 years. He's very like on social media, PK, he's very like open about his like staunch, like liberal opinions. And like, it's, which is makes him more attractive for Kix's case. I'll give you that. Like he's not as much of an asshole, I think, as he came. Cause that first season he came across just like a red faced, like woman hater with all the like vagina gate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With Erica, yeah. But like he seems to be actually a pretty nice guy. So I do understand your point of view, Kix. I don't agree with you, and that's why we're here.
Oh, that's beautiful. That was really sweet. Really gorgeous. Also, think about how far we've come since Pantygate till now. Like, thank God.
I know that
and Munchausen.
Know the storylines have evolved in a good way.
Thank God for Erica's.
For TV, in a good way for TV, not for the players on the show.
No.
Don't you think Erica just wishes we were fighting about panties again?
I think she wishes that no one ever said the word victims and orphans. What has she said? Widows and orphans.
Widows and orphans makes you sick. Well, any other final thoughts before we let you go, Eric? This has been such a blast.
I mean, what a giggle fest. I think that I'm grateful to Bravo, to you both, and that's my thought.
Well, great. Oh, thank you, Eric. We're grateful for you too.
Yes, no, this is truly before wonderful.
And before we let you go, can you just plug all the stuff?
Absolutely. Listen to my podcast. That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I had the boys from Watch What Crappens on. We talk a lot of Bravo and pop culture. And then, yeah, Instagram at Eric Wills with a Z and Eric Wills TT on the old TikTok.
Yep. And then follow me at the Tom Hamlet and follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X.
Perfect. And then Dumpster Dive Pod, that's our Instagram. And you can find all the other stuff. It's all there. Thank you for listening, subscribing, all the good stuff. And Eric, say bye to everyone. Say bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Love you, mooch.